was young, I wanted to play the piano. I tried a little bit, and I seen that wasn't going to work. I sure do appreciate those people that can play and play the piano, organ music. I enjoy it so much. Thank you for minding the Lord and for doing what I wouldn't do, practice. I guess I had my mind. That's one of those balancing acts I failed at. I told you I failed so many things. You only have so many hours a day. I devoted mine to basketball and baseball and corn shuckings and milking cows and stuff like that. I always have to have an excuse, don't we? Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 20 and 21. We're still on the thought that we are experiencing God's manifold blessings, but we're experiencing His balance and how He trains us, how He leads us, and how He teaches us. And so we're looking at God's balancing principles. We're experiencing them, we're living them. We either fail or we succeed. And remember, God does weigh us constantly. His eyes are upon us, beholding the evil and the good. And God will deal with it one way or the other. We're going to look at that tonight in a little bit more detail in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20. This chapter, of course, is prophetic, and it tells us about Israel, how they have failed. They have not done that balancing act. And remember, this morning we looked at the fact that God weighed Belshazzar, and he was found wanting, and he dealt with it, and the kingdom was overthrown. Well, God looks at Israel, and he has told them he's going to bring them down. And then he's looking at America. He's looking at you. He's looking at me. And this is what we do, how we experience, and how we learn when God is dealing with us. And he's telling us what to do. Look at the verse. Come, my people. Enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her sins. He's dealing with the weight of the world, the sins of all the people. He's looking at his nation Israel, and they haven't been pleasing to God either. But even in the midst of their transgressions, their failures, he still says, come, my people. He gives instructions, even in the midst of their failures. And let's look at it in detail. He says, come, my people. What does he instruct us to do? Come into thy chambers, the innermost part of your being or of your household, of the place that you go to get alone. And you get along with God, and he says, come in there and let me help you deal with it while my indignation passed, his anger, his displeasure, his gross sin, our gross failures. And he says, I'll deal with it. But while I'm dealing with it, come into thy chambers. But look what he says. As if it were for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed, until my anger is dealt with, until my harshness or my treatment for the failure of the world and for my people in particular. And it may be a long duration, he said, but as it were for a moment. Because if God comes in there with us, and he's dealing with us, and he is able to help us overcome our difficulties and help us get back on the right path, because it may be, or it'd be awful without him, but he says he's going to be with us. Then a couple more verses of scripture. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, he had dealt with problems that Israel had before. Remember when they were in bondage, when they were enslaved, and they were there because of their own doings, because their iniquities, because the children of Jacob had transgressed. So it's an awful, you read about one individual and another individual, and boy, you were just to give up on them. But God didn't. But he just put them in his balance, sent them down to Egypt for a while. But now he told them what to do and how to come out of Egypt. And listen at the text together in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. They had been chased now. They had been released from Egypt, take the riches of Egypt with them. And now as they were going, the Pharaoh considers, all my slaves are gone. He's been embarrassed. The elder male of every household has been slain by God. And now he is wrought with them, and he wants to get them back. Israel is in a hard place, just like you and I, just like America. In the hard place, and they're facing the Red Sea. They can't get across it. Egyptians are behind their back, mountain on one side. There's nowhere to go. And yet, in the middle of all that, Moses said, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall shew you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more. He'll fight for them. So he took care of me. Part of the Red Sea, they went over. And then they would have went on to the promised land in just a few weeks, but it turned out to be 40 years. And here we are in the midst of the turmoils, the stresses, the anguish, all the things that's going on in the world. And we see God's judgment is upon the world, and he says it will be, and is upon America. And it's upon any individual that won't stand in and let that indignation pass. So he tells us what to do. I'm so thankful that while he tells us to get in the inner chamber, or the most secret place, the place we can get some help, that's what I'm looking for. How do we get help? He told us to go in there. What will we do when we get in there? Well, he gives us the answer. Three things I want to look at. First of all, when we get in there, we have a self-evaluation. First of all, it's we have failed. It's not you, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, it's me, O Lord, that stands in the need of prayer. Isn't it easy to see other people's fault? It's easy to see politicians' fault. It's easy to see the problems of the world. It's easy to see how others live, but it's sometimes hard because we don't want to deal with it. But while we're waiting for his indignation to pass, his anger, or he is dealing with the subject at hand, he'll deal with it. Don't worry about that. And he'll deal with it rightly. He'll deal with it precisely as he needs to, when he needs to, because he's God. The scripture says, I will do as I please. Now, if you said that, I said, boy, that's not a good attitude, but God can say it, because if you say that, or if I say that, I'll do as I please, we probably won't do right. We'll do as we please. The Bible says in the book of Judges, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's far from the way that God sees it, because our way isn't God's way. God's way is perfect. God's way is beyond our way. And God will deal with the problem. But what I want to know, and what we need to know, is while we go into the inner chamber, the chambers, and while we wait for his indignation to pass, his anger, after he deals with it, what are we going to do in there? We're going to do a self-evaluation. Where have I failed you, O Lord? Now remember, he's looking at us all the time. He's judging us constantly. Wouldn't it be better if we would help him along? Now, he don't need any help, but I need help. And the best way I can help is, Lord, what have I done wrong? How have I measured up to your standards? A lot of times we fail to see our needs. We don't study enough. We don't pray enough. We aren't interested enough in the affairs of others. Obviously, we don't have the burdens that we ought to have. On and on. I'm just saying that God's looking at all that, and while we're in there, and he tells us to go in the chambers and wait, and he said it'll just be a little while, as if it were a little while. It may be a long duration, but if he comes in there with us, and I know he will, James says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to thee. So while I'm in the chambers or my secret place with God, and I'm asking him to show me myself and reveal to me my undertakings, I've done that before, and I don't do it all the time. I guess I'm afraid to, aren't you? I remember one night a few years ago, I was laying in the bed, and I thought, everything was right with God. And I was hoping it was, and I asked him to make it right. But I had the courage that night, since I thought I was balanced out really good and all my sins gone. Then I had that bold proclamation. Lord, David told me to do that in the Word of God. Show me my heart. Reveal me. I don't know my heart. You do. Show me my heart. And that night, he showed me some jealousy, some envy, some pride. And then he woke me up. And I jumped out of the bed as fast as I could, and it's me, Lord. See, I got in that chamber with him that night, and he showed me some things that was in there that I tried to skim over, didn't realize it. So if we do that while we're in there, and he comes by, and then he hips us, not only the self-evaluation while we're in that chamber, but while we're there, we need to learn how to submit over and over and over, submit thyself unto the Lord. Lord, here I am. Take me and use me. Get me out of the way. It's okay to ask for things. He told us, bring your request. Let your request be made known unto God, and that's good. But I found a better way. I do let my request be made unto God, but it's better if he's the one doing the requesting. So what I like to do and what he wants me to do is get in there and say, Lord, I'm yours. Anything I need, I'm willing to receive for your glory, because he'll only give you things for his glory. He won't give you anything if you're going to get self-glory out of it. And be honest with God. We're in there. Remember, we just got through a self-evaluation process, hopefully. And while we were in there, we saw that me and my four and more, no more, kind of is top side of the scale. But if we could just submit to his will and say, Lord, you know far better what I need than I know. And since I'm trusting you, and since I'm submitting to you, I want your will to be done in my life, and let your will be my will. Rather than asking you a bunch of things, it's okay if you do that. But for me, the best way is say, what do you want? And help me to achieve it. Help me to be presentable to you, and help me be in a position where I can receive that blessing to bring you honor and your glory. Now, the flesh don't like a bit of that. And there may be an argument going on to the flesh the other way. That's why he says we need to do that once in a while. Submit ourselves unto God. A lot of times we come to public service. We do. Every time the door is open, we're here. And we thank God for that. And that's good. But that's not enough. The time you and I spend with God alone is what really gets us to the place we need to be. We worship, we praise, we shout, we sing, we rejoice, and worship is so important publicly. But I'm telling you, there's nothing in the world like being alone with God, just you and him. Self-evaluation, of course, the self-evaluation has to be from him, because if you do it on your own, you're not going to get the good results. But in there, you're asking him to help you with that self-evaluation, show you your heart. And then when you come and get the flesh out of the way, it's hard to do, I know that, and you submit yourself, therefore, unto the Lord. No wonder he said when you're doing that, he's drawing nigh to you, and it will be just a moment, as though it were just a moment, even though it may be a long time. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. May be a long night sometime. Why are we in here? Because he said that we're waiting for his indignation, his anger, his results to be done, as only he can do them. And while we're in there, we're getting ourselves fixed up letting him help us get ourselves fixed up before he can use us. We know he's going to try us. We know he's going to weigh us in this balance. And we know if we don't pan out, there's going to be some harshness. So we're just learning and trying to learn with all our heart just to have God's way in our life. And we're living that balancing act with him on a day. Now, once you get it straight, there's a little problem going to creep in. The flesh gets up in the morning, doesn't feel as good as it did, and somebody called, whatever, you know, there's a million things goes wrong. Or you watch the news report, whatever you do, you know, and the flesh gets all riled up again. Then you have to go through the same process again. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about losing your joy. But now there's a third thing we need to do while we get in there. We need to learn to sanctify ourselves. Sanctification is a word that the Baptists don't use a lot anymore. I love it. Set apart. Wouldn't it be good if we could just say, God, set me apart for your glory, your praise, your honor. Just sanctify me and let me come to the middle of where you want me to be. Whatever it takes, wherever you send me. I love that song we sing, wherever he leads, I'll go. I wonder how much truth there is in their hearts when we sing that. Some of us know perfectly well if he leads us to certain places, we will not go willingly. We may go reluctantly, but we sing that song, if we sing that song as we ought to, wherever you lead, I'll gladly go, I'll freely go. So while I'm in there, first of all, I'm letting him help me do a self-evaluation. Then I'm committing myself unto him. And then thirdly, I am letting him sanctify me by faith. A couple of verses I want to read to you about faith. In John chapter 8 and verse 30. And verse 31. As he spake these words, as Jesus is speaking to the multitude, many believed on him. Next verse. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. I started studying that, and it's going to take me a while, a whole new message develop in it, about the word believe and about the word faith. The faith we have, believe in him, believe on him, believe about him, it's all different. I've witnessed to people on the plane. I've witnessed to Jews, and I love them. And the Jewish people I've met and talked to, they believe in Jesus. They believe in him. They believe about him. They believe he was a man. That's far from the fact that believe that he was the Son of God, virgin born, only Son of God. So the word believe, the Jews believe, they saw him there. But he said there's a definition to that believe. Faith is in the act. Faith to believe he is who he said he was. And that he can do all things. And while I'm in there getting sanctified, letting him sanctify me all over again, set me apart, the only way that's going to happen is for me to completely believe, as we heard in the prayer, that God is in control of the whole universe. All power has been given by the Father to him. All principalities and all powers, he's over them. And if we really believe that and we were submitted to that, and if we were let him sanctify us, then a lot of fear would be gone. I said this morning, perfect love cast that fear. But yet every time we hear about tragedies and shootings in church, we fear. We're in the flesh. But that time alone with God in the chambers where he's in there with us, to instill in us faith that I am in control, I believe upon him, I believe in him, I believe about him, but most of all, I believe that God's going to do exactly in my heart what needs to be done to bring him honor and glory. Outside of that, he's not willing or not going to do anything if I'm not willing to give him honor and glory for it and believe he can do all things. So that perfect faith, while we're in there, then a couple more verses. Look in Exodus chapter 13, verse 14, one more time. I haven't went through that yet. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Boy, that's hard for us to do, isn't it? The Lord's already said that he's going to do that. We believe in Jesus. We believe on Jesus. We believe about Jesus. But we've got to really believe that he's going to do all the fighting for us. It doesn't mean we don't know do what we need to do, what he tells us to do. But the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. The fight is not to the strong or to the swift. It's those that endure. And the verse says, and ye shall hold your peace. We need to learn how to do that. Sanctification is a big part of that. He sets us apart, complete trust in him, and we hold our peace. Why? Because he is our peace. Everything about the precious salvation of Lord Jesus Christ that he does for us, not only at salvation, but the keeping power, the directing power, the ability to help us win all the battles that he wants us to win. Of course, he sends us some things sometimes. We have to enact faith. And that faith is in him to do what he wants to do. We pray and we ask God to do these things. That's good. We need to. He told us to. But if we could just ever get to the point of believing that he is in complete control, he's got a perfect will, and all prayer is doing in my part at the time is getting me to agree with him. He already knows it all. He's got the pattern. He's got the plan. And I just need to be able to submit to his lordship and his plan. When I got saved, it was not only salvation complete, but it was lordship. A lot of people don't see that. They get saved, and that's wonderful. They get saved, and they're going to heaven, and that's great. And they're escaping hell, all after package deal. But at the same time, something else happened. Lordship. He is Lord. He's in control. It's just like when I was a little bitty boy. My dad was 6'6", and mean little boys would come around and kicking and all that stuff. I didn't have to fight with them. I'd just go get between my dad's leg and stick my head out and know my dad take care of it. And that's the way I need to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil gets after us, and all I have to do, I like that message, is say the name of Jesus in your heart, believing, Lord Jesus. Sometimes it seems like the devil is invading and tearing down and destroying. The name of Jesus. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Read the scripture again one more time in the book of Isaiah. Come ye my people. That's us. Enter thou into thy chambers and shut the doors about thee. Shut off all the worry, the fear, the anguish, the trouble, the sorrows. You can't do anything about me. We just shut them out. And when you shut the doors, just say, Lord, help me just dismiss all that. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed, until I take care of business with me, what I need to do. And while he's doing it, don't worry about him doing it. He'll do it right. But while I'm in there waiting for him to do what he needs to do, I need to do some self-correcting too. Would you stand in that? Your heads are bowed. If you'll come and Brother Gary lead the song, whatever God puts on your heart. Now it might be a good time for you just to slip into that chamber. Altar is a good place. Just you and God. Nobody's listening to us pray except him. It's a good place. Anywhere he bids me go. Sometimes he'll tell me to go to a particular place. A day's drive someday. Sometimes 1,000, 4,000 miles. To go to a particular place. And when I get there, he's there. Just alone with him. Why would he do that? Because he's God. He knows what I need. Is he your God tonight? Brother Gary, what number? 338. 338. Amen. What's the Lord put on your heart tonight? Testimony? You've done something, you need to do something for the Lord that He told you to do? That's obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. All minds and hearts clear.